Thank you, Dustin. Good morning, dear saints. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you rejoicing in him? I hope so. I hope so. Well, this morning I like to start in what I feel is a should be a sweet way. And you notice by now that in all these Saturday morning times, I asked or I request that you would sing that little hymn that I wrote, right? Maybe by now you should have it memorized. We sang it, have been singing so much of it. And to tell you the truth, I'm still burdened to write more hymns along this line. Not only about the Lord being our shepherd, and there are a few hymns, very famous, very lovely hymns, even based on Psalm 23, for example, of Jehovah being our shepherd. But we are quite sorely lacking, and in fact, it's hard for me to find a hymn, even in our very wonderful hymnal, of us being the shepherd. And that's why I wrote this hymn, and I have a burden to continue to write more as the Lord would lead. Now, however, since we don't have hymns specifically along that line, in recent times I've been, just going through our hymnals on the section of preaching of the gospel. You know, there is such a division or section in our hymnal called preaching of the gospel. It is not the gospel per se. We have the last section of the hymnal just on the gospel hymns that we sing to and with the unbelievers, right? The unsaved. But I'm talking about prior to that. After the section of service, we have actually a number of hymns that are very, very popular, very inspiring, very much used by the Lord at one time, calling the believers. These hymns are all calling the believers to fulfill Christ's Great Commission to preach the gospel to the nations, to save men for Christ, to bring people into the Lord's salvation. And so we don't sing it that much, actually. We should sing it more, even just for the gospel's sake, even to stir up the spirit of the gospel among us. We need to sing these hymns. But roughly, it is from 915, 915, the number, hymn number 915, all the way to 9, let me see here, 934, 934. And actually, there is the famous one that is may not be in this section as such, and that would be Sister Fanny Crosby. You know, Fanny Crosby, a very well-known lady hymn writer. That one called "Rescue the Perishing," care for the dying. I think that song may be in the section of the gospel. Maybe one of you can check on it and let us know. But this morning, I'd like to kind of mention a few of these hymns, because this is sort of laid on my spirit. I'd like to start there. But as we look at these, in fact, it's here. Sorry, Fanny Crosby is here, 921. 921. And I will start there using these few hymns. I'll just recite them. And when we when you look at these hymns, I hope you have your hymnals in front of you or hymnal.net, whatever you have, you would apply these hymns not only to the preaching of the gospel, but to the shepherding of the believers, which really is, which includes the proper shepherding all inclusively, okay, covers, involves the preaching of the gospel, the salvation of sinners. The whole gamut of shepherding actually includes that. And I always mention Luke chapter 15, the first parable about a certain man or a shepherd who would leave the 99, you know, it's even in our hymn here, to go and find that one lost sheep. Left the 99 to go for the one lost sheep. And when he found this sheep, put it on his shoulders and brought it home, this lost one. And it says that it's such a joy. Of course, this refers to Christ, our shepherd, the unique shepherd who go into the world to find that one lost sheep, which lost sheep is just you and me, that one lost sheep. And when that lost sheep is found, heaven rejoice. I would sometimes imagine even the angels in the heavens, right? He mentioned would be doing cartwheels, jumping up and down, that there would be one soul saved. One soul. You know, we think just to get someone saved for Christ, to save, be saved from perdition and receive eternal life is no big deal. You know, there are 7 billion people here. What's one? Well, let me tell you, even just one soul saved, heaven rejoice. Just one. Brothers and sisters, do not look down on just one. Even Christ looked for sinners one at a time. And he saved them. Look for them, save them, find them, put him on the shoulders, bring him home one at a time. One at a time. So here, let me even not get into this section on preaching of the gospel first. I would just come right to one hymn in the gospel section, not preaching the gospel, the gospel section, 1068 in English hymnal, 1068. Marvelous hymn, beloved hymn of Brother Witness Lee. In fact, he was the one who translated this hymn from English into Chinese. And the Chinese one is so well translated, it almost seemed better than the English. That's just my opinion. But this is Luke 15. Let me read it to you. And this touches shepherding. Verse 1, in tenderness he sought me, weary and sick with sin, and on his shoulders brought me into his flock again, while angels in his presence sang until the courts of heaven rang. Oh, the love that sought me! Oh, the blood that bought me! Oh, the grace that brought me to the flock. Wondrous grace that brought me to the flock. You know, even originally, it is not talking about bringing us to the flock. It is, Brother Lee translated it and make the truth correct, based on even John chapter 10, that the Lord came and saved us and brought us home. What is home? Home is his flock. Home is his church. And just like in Psalm 23, the final destination of us being shepherded by Jehovah is that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is the final destination of shepherding. So eventually, shepherding is to find a sinner and save the sinner who is in the world, who is lost, right? And bring him through a long process, a life process, and eventually all the way into the home of the church, the Father's family, God's house. So this is shepherding. Dear brothers and sisters, when we say we need to be shepherds just like the Lord, we all should be doing this with one small lamb, with one sheep, with one person, one saint, one brother, one sister that you care for, that you shepherd with the Lord and on behalf of the Lord to lead them all the way into the church of God, the church life. That's a long process. That's a long process. But this is shepherding. This is inclusive. This is from A to Z. So here, this lovely, lovely song, and especially the chorus, is just moves me to tears when I sing it. But think of this sheep here, this weary and sick and sinful sheep that is lost. Think of this one as a saved one. Think of this one even as a saint. Do you know some saints that are lost? Do you know some brothers and sisters who have gone wayward? Do you know some believers that are now backslidden? How about them? They are lost. They left the church life. For this or that reason, they dropped out. We need to look for them. We need to find them. And we need to bring them home. That's shepherding. Here, of course, the last, next two verses I don't read because it's mainly applying to the Lord's death and redemption and so on. But think the spirit of this hymn is entirely a shepherding that is pervaded by the shepherding spirit. I'll read it. I'll read it. Sometimes even we don't have that much of a feeling for sinners, which we need to shepherd to Christ before we shepherd them to the church. Verse 2, he washed the bleeding sin wounds and poured in oil and wine. He whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. I never heard a sweeter voice. It made my aching heart rejoice. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the flock. Wondrous grace that brought me to the flock. Verse 3. He pointed to the nail prints. For me, his blood was shed. A mocking crown so thorny was placed upon his head. I wonder what he saw in me to suffer such deep agony. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the flock. Wondrous grace that brought me to the flock. If, saints, if there's anything that should move us to care for sinners and saints, it should be the memory of our being sought out, of our selves being found, of his dying for me, of his shedding his blood for me, of him wearing the crown of thorns for me, of him suffering an agonizing redemptive death for me. That love should inspire and move us to go and find the lost and go and shepherd the needy, the sinners, the saints, the seekers, and the wayward and lost ones. Now, come to Fanny Crosby, 921, famous song, always, always convicting, always, always persuasive, and just moving us, motivating us to go and rescue the perishing. Verse 1. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Sometimes we need to actually say this, these exact words to a brother, to a sister who is long lost, who have left the way of the church, who are drowning in the world. Verse 2, though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive, penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with the lost, plead with the sinners, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Many times I have to speak this to a wayward saint. It's like they need to find the Savior again. Three, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter. Feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. You know, many saints, they suffer. They encounter tragedy. They suffer loss, and some are abused. Their hearts are crushed. Their heartstrings are torn and broken. And our work of shepherding is to restore, to repair, to recover, to make those heartstrings vibrate with song again. Brothers and sisters, that's shepherding. That's shepherding. Are we doing this? Ought not we be doing this all the time? Isn't there one or two or three or a few that you're burdened for in this way? Verse 4, rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the word the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a savior has died. You know, you almost need to remind a backslidden or fallen saint that the Savior has died for them. And that death is still effectual. That death still works. That blood that he shed that once cleanses you, cleansed you, can still cleanse you today, no matter how deep you have fallen. And here I like this third line, strength for your labor, the shepherds, that's our labor as shepherds, the Lord will provide. I recall the word at the end of chapter 1 of Colossians where Paul said that he struggled according to the operation of the might of the power within him to do what? To teach and exhort every man, to present every man full grown in Christ. What is that? That is shepherding. That is shepherding. And to do that kind of shepherding, one man at a time. He was very clear to say one at a time, to teach every man, right? That's one at a time. Even this great apostle Paul needs strength, needs might, needs power to labor to do this kind of shepherding work. And even the more us, brothers and sisters, even the more you and I. Now, I'm not planning to spend this whole first hour on hymns, but if I can move your heart, I think it's worth it. 9:22. I'm sorry. I need to go back to not, I'm not going to cover every song, but just some of them. But it's, you do well to go and try to learn every one of these songs. The other one in 922, this is a Brother Lee, Witness Lee's song. To the lost world, minister Christ. To the lost saint, minister Christ. Not just by word, but by life, imparting Christ by living deeds to the poor souls living in strife. To the lost world, minister Christ by daily walk, making him known. Imparting Christ by whom you live, share with all men what you have owned. Isn't this shepherding work? Shepherding the believers to the lost world, to the lost saint, minister Christ, the precious one you possess, imparting Christ to those you love as all their gain and success. Three, to the lost saint, minister Christ, the very Christ you enjoy, imparting Christ to all your friends, to all the saints, as all their boast and their joy. For to the lost world, minister Christ, who is your life and your all, imparting Christ to all you meet, all fallen ones, great and small. May these songs that once were used to move the believers to preach the gospel to the unsaved constrain us today in a similar way to go and find and restore, to feed, to cherish, to nourish, which is in this lesson eight, to shepherd the saints around us. Nine 23, go to collect materials for the house. Do you know, brothers and sisters, when we shepherd a saint, our burden is that this saint would become a living stone. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 2, started about us, the newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word. That will cause us them to experience salvation, and then it continues to state that we are all living stones that are brought to Christ, the unique stone, the very one that the Jews have rejected, but is made by God the cornerstone, that one. And all these living stones drinking the milk, growing in life, will become built up together as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices to God. Brothers and sisters, right there, that chapter right there is shepherding. We all need to be feeding some young one, some new one. How about a junior high saint? How about a high school saint? How about a college age saint? How about a new believer? No matter their physical age, a young believer, you just go. You have appointment with them. You have a Zoom with them. You visit them in their house. Not for long, not for hours, maybe for 15 minutes, maybe for 20 minutes, a couple of times a week, a phone call here, a FaceTime there. You just have this burden to consistently, perseveringly minister the milk, right? Feed them with the word. And they will receive this word. They will grow. They will experience transformation. And soon enough, they will become a living stone for God's building. That's shepherding. Are you doing that? Brothers and sisters, we cannot be satisfied in a routine church life in the mode of maintenance. Just go to the meeting, do our thing, and even faithfully. No, brothers, we need a change. We need a change. That's not good enough. That to me is wonderful, but the minimum. Every local church should be shepherding from the leading brothers, the elders, to the youngest saint. Even the high school sister should be shepherding. The whole church is a shepherding church, caring for people left and right. Go to convince dear souls and bring them in. Bring in the very souls whom God has made. Bring in the souls usurped by sin. Go to collect materials for the house. Go to deliver people from the world, from all satanic darkness and deceit, from all allurements Satan has unfurled. Even our own young people, you know, they're vulnerable. They are tempted by the world. The thing that they're exposed to, the peer pressure, the world calling them. It's a fight. Who will do this? I stand here today. I was saved when I was 11 years old, baptized in the church. Then I gone wayward. I gone way off, AWOL, right? They call them way AWOL. I left the church life. And if it were not for some particular saint's prayer for me specifically, and visiting me and bothering me, calling me, inviting me, I won't be standing here today. Go to collect materials for the house. Go to win souls to glorify the Lord. Go to defeat the enemy of God. Go sinners to release with one accord. Go to collect materials for the house. Go Christ proclaiming on the body ground. Go thus in oneness with the faithful saints and let the trumpet of the gospel sound. I hope that there is not a movement, but certainly a wave of the Spirit in the churches in Northern California. Not just listening to me talking about this again and again, but going. Go, go. The word is go, go, go. Go do it. Go find them. Go care for them. Start with one piece of material. I continue. I continue. These are too wonderful. Nine 28, actually a famous hymn called A Channel of Blessing. The question is posed to the believers. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you telling the lost of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? This applies not just to gospel preaching. This applies to our shepherding, to our bearing of fruit, remaining fruit. Are you telling the loss of the Savior? Are you ready his service to do? Make now the prayer. The prayer in the chorus. Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. I like to call on all of you who are in this meeting right now. I'm looking at 371 devices. If you minus me, it's 70, 370 devices, some with two or more saints, that you would all pray, we would all pray today, again, Lord, make me a channel of blessing. Make me a shepherd. Is your life a channel of blessing? Verse 2. Are you burdened for those that are lost? Are you burdened? Have you urge upon those who are straying? So many have strayed, even saints. The Savior who died on the cross. Verse 3. We cannot be channel of blessing if our lives are not free from all sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. This is so true. If we really want to be a proper and effective shepherd, we ourselves have to be separated. We ourselves have to be sanctified. We have to deal with the Lord. We have to be those who are consecrated to Him. We have to be those who are one with the Lord, in fellowship with the Lord, abiding in Him, so that we can be those channels of blessing and those shepherds. Somebody wrote this as another verse, verse 4. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is it daily telling for Him? Have you spoken a word of salvation to those who are dying in sin? Have you spoken a word, brothers and sisters? Have you? This last week, have you spoken a word to a little lamb, to a sheep, to someone that you're burdened for and who is under your care? Verse Psalm 930, 930. A dear one, a dear song to me, totally applicable to shepherding. It's called Must I Go and Empty-Handed? Must I go and empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Not one day of service give him, lay no trophy at his feet. Must I go and empty-handed, must I meet my Savior so? Not one soul with which to greet him, must I empty-handed go. Not at death I shrink nor falter, for my Savior saves me now. But to meet him empty-handed, thought of that now clouds my brow. Oh, the years in sinning wasted, could I but recall them now, I would give them to my Savior, to his will I'd gladly bow. O ye saints, arouse, be earnest, up and work while yet 'tis day. Ere the night of death o'ertake thee, strive for souls while still you may. Dear saints, we're still alive, aren't we? We still have breath in our mouth. The Lord has graciously preserved us until today. For what? For what? Just so that we can have a happy life? Even just so that we can have a happy church life? Or is there more? Is there more? I told you before somewhere, I refer to this hymn. I remember that. It's a young man who was about to die. It's not written by him. It's written by someone who heard his story. He's been a Christian for merely a month. All right? And he's very sorrowful because he has so little time to serve the Lord. Only a month left. So he said this, "I'm not afraid to die. Jesus saves me now. But, there's a big but, must I go empty-handed?" So this song was written based on that word. And you know what? Over the decades, over time, so many were moved by this hymn to go into the mission fields, to go out and preach the gospel. Today, many, many are filling the hands of this young person. So if you have the burden, the heart, even if you die, your words will still live. Your burden can be carried on, and people will still benefit if the burden is there. You know, many of us ourselves are shepherded. Remember, right? Don't you remember those who shepherded you? And today, because of that, we're here. And surely because of that, we should continue to do the same. Nine 32, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart, because this is for gospel preaching. But for shepherding, Lord, lay some person, some saint, a name, a brother and sister who needs care, who needs help. Lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. Love that person through me. Love that saint through me. And may I bravely do my part to win that soul for thee, to shepherd that soul for thee. Some soul for thee, some soul for thee. This is my earnest plea. Help me each day on life's highway to win some soul for thee. Lord, lead me to some soul in sin and grant that I may be endure with power and love to win that soul, dear Lord, for thee. Last verse, to win that soul for thee, my Lord, will be my constant prayer. We need to pray this way. Lord, give me someone to care for, someone to save, someone to feed, someone to perfect. That when I've won thy full reward, I'll be with that dear one share. Okay, brothers, I think this is plenty. I know I'm spending a lot of time seemingly not on the subject of this outline. But brothers, I would say this. If we have the heart, all this outline will work. If we don't have the heart, I can share and share and give you all these wonderfully rich outlines. It still would not amount to much. What I'm burdened is the doing, is your action, is your taking the initiative to start if you haven't yet. I close my eyes if there would be in Northern California, 400 saints, let's say just 400 saints who are here this morning, all not making a big deal, not stirring up a movement, but start seriously to do this work, labor on shepherding. I tell you, there will be a revival in Northern California. I have no doubt about that. The prayers that will be ascend to the throne on behalf of these wings. The love that will flow to so many. The care that will be heaped upon them. The wine that will be poured on wounds. The compassion that will reach so many hearts, touch so many lives. Brothers and sisters, that's our meaning. That's our meaning. We all should be doing this. Now, today we're on cherishing and nourishing. I'll just cover number one here. There are three Roman numerals. I'll just cover one, and maybe we can have a break, early break. Then we come back and we cover two and three. Don't worry, I'm not here just to. This is not a conference. I'm not here to make sure I cover every point in a full way. I'm here just to talk to you and discharge a burden of the Lord. So in the latter years of Brother Lee's ministry, he was strong on this burden of shepherding. You just go to the book, as I recommend, called The Vital Groups. The Vital Groups. Just get that book. And there, Brother Lee really plunged into this burden, charging us, all the vital groups, all the vital members in the church, to do this work of shepherding. You need to get that book. And there, as he waded into the burden, he came upon this definition, if you will, of shepherding. And I love this. That is cherishing and nourishing. Cherishing and nourishing. This is our work. What is cherishing? Cherishing is to care for people. Just care for them. In so many ways, in so many ways. And he would even add this to the definition, cherishing people or cherishing others with the humanity of Jesus. See, to care for people is a very human thing. It's a human caring for a human. When the Lord came to care for us, he didn't care for us just as God. He came and become a man. It's as a man that he care for us, care for the people. So to cherish people with the humanity of Jesus, a divine humanity, a resurrected humanity, a high humanity. And number two, he added this, nourishing people. He made a distinction between cherishing and nourishing, whereas cherishing is to care for all aspects of a person humanly. Nourishing is to feed them with food. And he would say this, to nourish people or nourish others with the divinity of Christ. So to nourish people, we supply them, we dispense food that is divine. Actually, that food is just one thing, and that is Christ. But Christ, as the living bread, as the living water, as the living spirit in his living word. So by speaking, by sharing, by teaching, by exhorting, with the help of the word of God, We nourish others. We feed them with some divine food. And that, like the pure milk of the word, or solid food, as they continue to grow, is what will make them what? Flourish and grow in the divine life. Very, very important. You know, in Ephesians chapter 4, talks about those gifts that the head Christ has given to his body. Firstly, the apostles, and then the prophets, and then the evangelists, then the fourth class of people. It's a compound class of people, and that would be shepherds and teachers. Those are not two groups of people. Those are one group of people, showing that the shepherding is very, very much have to do with teaching. Teaching. Teaching others with about God, about Christ, about the reality in the Word, about so many things. You know, a young one who just got saved, they just know the world. They live like a worldly old an old man. So they need to relearn another way to live. It's called a Christian life. So they need to be taught. They need to be retrained. And so no wonder the Lord's word is what? Disciple the nations. Disciple means to what? Make them disciples. Make them kingdom people. And you do that, the Lord continue, teaching them all that I have commanded you. So after we baptize them into the name of the Father and the Son of the Spirit, bringing them into a mystical union with the triune God, we need to proceed with our shepherding work to teach them the word of Christ, the word of God, so that they can be discipled, they can be trained, they can be supplied, they can be equipped to be a man of God, a God-man. Brothers, you need to do that. Sisters, don't say, oh, this is the brother's job. This is not just the brother's job. Sisters, you need to learn how to teach. I don't mean give a long sermon. No. Sometimes just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you share something so simple, so definite in the Word of God, some matter that this person needs, or some question that they pose to you. And because you have learned something, you know the truth, you present something in an age-appropriate way. Do you follow me? In a way that is accessible to them, that they can understand you. Don't drown them. You know, it says, you know, do not boil the kid in the mother's milk. Yeah, you got a lot of milk, but it is so hot that you drown the lamb. You drown the new one. Don't do that. So Paul, we'll see here, Paul stressed how gentle he was in the midst of the Thessalonians, like a nursing mother. Not rough, not just pouring it on, not dumping anything on people, but gently, like you feed a little child. So now this outline is based on those two key definitions. Very, very helpful. This helped me so much in my care for others. And they go hand in hand. These two things go hand in hand. Now, in number one, on this matter, on both of these matters, we need to cherish and nourish the new ones that they may remain. How about that? The Lord said, I set you, you know, as branches in the vine to go forth and bear fruit. And listen to this, and that your fruit should remain. Okay? We're not here just to bear fruit. We're here to bear remaining fruit. Those who would stay attached to the vine, those who would come into the church life, those who would go on with the Lord. To have that, so that it's like, you have children, but after you have children, you don't feed them, you don't care for them, you just put them out there. Basically, you're orphaning them. That's not right. We have children to keep them and raise them. And that's where cherishing and nourishing comes in, so that they remain. Okay. A. In 1 Thessalonians 2:7, Paul says this great verse, "We were gentle in your midst, as a nursing mother would cherish her own children." A few words I want you to take note of. Number one, gentle. Number two, nursing. Nursing. Number three, mother. Number four, cherish. And number five, her own. And number six, children. This verse requires us to pray slowly and carefully before the Lord. And then you just ask the Lord, "Lord, what about me? Am I gentle? Lord, be my gentleness. Help me to be gentle. Lord, touch my disposition. Touch my roughness and toughness. Lord, give me your gentleness. I don't know how to be properly gentle." Nursing, this is like breastfeeding. Nursing. I mean, if you feed a child with your breast, you embrace them, don't you? You hold them close to you. They're on your breast. That's how we should feed people. We don't feed them from a distance. We embrace them. We hold them. We put them on our breast. Multiple times in the Old Testament, God said, "I put you on my breast." Nursing, nursing. Do we nurse people, or do we just care for people? Just care for them in a general way. Is it intimate, brothers and sisters? Is it close? I don't mean naturally close. I mean properly close. People know whether you really care or not, or you're just a project. I mean, they are just a project to you. Nurse. There's a lot of gentleness in this word nurse. A lot of love in this word nurse. Mother. These saints, we're mothers. We're not, a hired nurse, you know what I mean? We're not some kind of governess, we're not, we're, no, we are the mother. We are the mother. We're not some au pair that is hired, babysitter. No, we are mothers. This person that you're caring for is, I jump, your child. Children, your children. In fact, your own child. It's not even a foster child, it's your own child. Of course, this is another subject. How, because there is a principle of the transfer of life, we take care of people who we might not have begotten, but yet they become as our own. This is what happened on the cross when the Lord saw his mother, physical mother Mary, and his beloved disciple John. And he said, John, this is your mother. And Mary, this is your son. So in death and through death and resurrection, there's a transfer of life where someone who is not actually your child can become your child. And this is how we have our own children in the church life. I think sometimes in our church life, there are more orphans, saints that have no one caring for them, or just high and by, you know, how's it going? And that's about it. There's no heart to pick them up, bring them home, and nurse them. So the last word is cherish. That's what we're going to cover. Cherish. I like this word. I even almost, I love this word more than the word love. Love is too general. Cherish. Cherish. One, in this verse, Paul used the word cherish. Cherishing includes nourishing, but it indicates more tender care than merely nourishing. To cherish is to do everything in order to meet the young one's need. We call them TLC, right? Am I right? Tender, loving care. Everyone needs TLC. Of course, we don't do this just out of our own. Even our human TLC should be suffused with Christ love. The genuine love. But no, in any event, these new ones, young ones, weak ones, all need a lot of TLC from spiritual parents, from spiritual mothers. Find them, brothers and sisters. I wouldn't say adopt them, but you know what I mean. Let them be transferred to your care in a specific way. None of us can take care of 1,000 people or 500 or 100 or 50 or 30 or 10. If we can just take care of one or two, a handful, that's a lot. And I like this here. We, Paul says we. I forgot this pronoun. That means Paul, he did it himself for sure, but he also did it with his co-workers. So our care for new ones is not just individual, this side, that side, the individual care, the individual concern. But often, more often than not, because we're in the church, living in the body, we may have a companion who will care for this person as well, together in a coordinated way. But regardless, someone has to take the main responsibility. Two, after we baptize someone, we must immediately consider ourselves as gentle nursing mothers. Especially after someone is newly baptized, that is they're in the most vulnerable state. You know, after a child is born, after the umbilical cord is cut, that is the most vulnerable time. They immediately put them, if the baby is a normal baby, on the breast of the mother, and as soon as possible to begin the feeding. immediately consider ourselves as gentle nursing mothers. Even Paul, the great apostle, became a nursing mother. Great apostle, but just a little mother himself to certain saints in Thessalonica. Three, whenever a mother comes to cherish or nourish a little babe, she's always very gentle. To cherish and nourish the new ones, we have to be fine and gentle. You say, I'm not like that. Well, pray for that. Change yourself. A, some brothers are very eager and intense. Their way of speaking may be too strong or rough. This may intimidate or sometimes frighten or even threaten the new ones. I've seen this. Some brothers, they're full of the Bible knowledge. They just go and they just are very intense. They're scary. They're actually scary and they scare people away or they're rough. They don't know how to be gentle, so they turn people off. We must win people. I don't mean I'm here to do something, how to make friends and win people. I'm not into that kind of stuff. But dear saints, to gain people, to have people trust in you, to have people open to you, we need to be the proper kind. To know how to be gentle, how to be empathetic, how not to be condescending, how to come beneath them, how to be humble, how to be kind. People will be drawn to these virtues, human virtues. If you're just strong, rough, intense, you have a lot of Bible truth, but I tell you, no one will stay with you to receive your kind of rough feeding. B, others are like preachers, theological school graduates, always presenting one portion from the Bible after another to instruct them. Their gesture would give people the feeling that they are proud and they would cool down the new ones. So I mentioned this already. Some brothers, they just show off like they know so much. You know, everything is a verse. Everything is some point. Well, that's too much. You need to be age appropriate. You need to firstly understand and know where this person is. Even it takes time to get to know where that person that you care for is. And based on that, you gently, slowly, and yet very deliberately, you feed them. Every time you meet, there's just always some food. And they would not reject you. They would not feel offended by you, right? They would not be threatened by you. They would feel comfortable. They would be happy. They would receive what you have to say. I always say, don't spend too long a time. A lot of shorter times add up, will be more effective and powerful. There are times we need to spend longer times with longer talks, and they have a particular need. But as a rule, C, to contact people in a way that will make them happy. How about that? Requires much learning. How to make people happy requires a lot of learning. Actually, this kind of learning is endless. We must know how to take care of people in a way that their hearts would be open to us. Saints, we're here to win hearts, aren't we? In a proper sense. We're not here, we must not be those who push people away unawares. We like people who would, the hearts would become open to us to receive the nourishing that we provide. B, to nourish and cherish the new ones is not accomplished in 1 or 2 days. It is a daily, continual work that requires a long period of time. A mother feeds a little babe multiple times a day as necessary. So even be ready to be inconvenienced, brothers and sisters, if you want to take this way. And don't just do something quickly or expect some fast results. No one raises children in a quick way. It takes years. This will try our patience. This will require endurance, but this is exactly what Paul said already. He labored. He used the word, I labor, labor. With people, we need to labor. Be ready to expend time, even long period of time, to care for and raise up someone. But I like to say this, brothers and sisters, when at last you see some fruit, results, growth in someone you care for, you know, that is so gratifying. That is so much a blessing when you see that your child grew.